This episode of Lucas, Tigers, and Bronze is brought to you by PWCC. PWCC is currently running an unlimited free vault promo, which is running through July 31st, through the end of the National. The vault is 100% free for all graded cards valued at over $50. There's no ingestion costs, no storage fees, and unlimited submissions. Just enter the promo code VAULT, V-A-U-L-T, when creating your submission to apply the promo.
Luca Nation. Episode 758 of Lucas Woo! Tigers and Bronze. Oh my. Shout out to Cage. Back in the office. The honeymoon of National, whether it's an AC, Chicago, Miami, Vegas. We could talk about where you guys would want National to be held. I think that's a fascinating topic. I think we all know where we don't want National held ever again. I think we could all agree on that, which is a nice feeling. But Cage is back in the office. Just got home, dinner delivered. He said, I'm going to fight the urge to eat, and I'm going to produce an incredible, incredible show for you guys here today. So we want to welcome you back. We love you guys. We're planning something incredible. I think you're going to love in the month of August. We're bringing on guests from every walk of life to share their feelings, their experiences, their take on the hobby. And everyone who's already responded back and scheduled, thank you guys for making my life so easy. And all you guys in Luca Nation who support us, who comment, who listen. The only reason people want to be guests on our show is because of our amazing community. So thank you all.
People want to be guests. People want to be guests on the show. Yeah, I didn't really, you know, not eat. I grabbed some food. You know, I put some food on a plate for Ian. He goes downstairs and plays games and watches TV and eats. And I had a little bit myself, and then I tried to have a little soup, and I burned my tongue. So it's better I just let that cool off a little bit. You know, maybe a couple minutes into the episode, I'll try again. We'll see.
Cage's throat is jacked. The right throat.
Oof, my throat is jacked right now. But it is what it is. So, listen, lots of fun topics still to discuss from the National, right? Andrew gave me a present. Check this out, guys. That is Alex Rodriguez. In a cage. Pretty cool, right? It says it right there. In the cage.
One of our Luca Nation supporters who sent us a consignment sent that card. And I said, instead of running it, I'm going to buy it off of him.
Boom. I'm going to go to you. In the cage. I love it. Thank you.
You have another card in the mail that's a gift to you, brother.
Woohoo! I like it. I like it.
I think you're going to love it. I showed it off to our Whatnot community, and they said Cage is going to love that card.
So Andrew is going through basically the library of guests that we're going to have on. And he reached out to Panini to have him on. And I love what Pat Geek responded to you. Can you share it? Would you mind sharing what he said? How he said, Andrew, come on with the fanatics questions. And let's clarify that. So I'm up on a panel talking about Panini Digital and licensing comes up and you're allowed to ask questions, right? And people are asking questions. Not that many. Because when you do a panel on NFTs, people don't stay and listen. You guys know this. Which is why I was doing it. Because, you know, I'm like the last pick in the draft. So I get on the NFT panel. But, guys, check it out on YouTube. It's pretty funny. I fell asleep for the first couple minutes of it. You know, I was ripping on everybody. You know, Tyler and Jesse were there. You know, I made sure everybody knew we were the best podcast. I mean, it was pretty
funny. I don't think you were the last pick. I think it's such a difficult subject that I don't think most people have experience in the space to speak on it. I think a lot of people with digital collectibles and NFTs are theorists. I really believe that. I think a lot of people play the game of, I've read something somewhere. I'm going to put my own spin on it and tell you guys what it is. I think what makes you special, and if you give it, if you're patient, it'll play out. You're a practitioner. You're in the weeds. You're in the Discord.
Yep, I am.
That's how you found out about the lady in Ithaca who's, you know, selling white sparkle.
Because did you see she apologized today? She put up a post up there and apologized. And, you know, like, hey, but what's weird about that, if we're allowed, you know, I don't want to crap on Panini, is how does Panini decide to give somebody hundreds of codes who has never used an NFT before? How's that the person whose hands they put it into to dole out and be like a brand ambassador for them? So it is, you know, there's lots more questions we can ask. I'm sure Pat Geek's going to cancel if we continue down that road. But what was funny is, and we're going to go down this, people are allowed to ask questions about NFTs. And Andrew shows up at the end of my stuff because, I mean, first of all, it was hilarious because he comes sauntering in and he's got like a stack of cards that he made a trade for. And we can talk about that in a second too, that stack of cards. Don't let me forget. And he's got the stack of cards he made a trade for, and he asks, of course, what everybody is wanting to know when it comes to Panini. Hey, what happens when Fanatics comes in? And of course, Panini's kind of like squirming. The Panini reps are kind of squirming. I think it's not because that's a bad question. I think it's because they probably aren't able to answer it.
Can I ask it, though, the way I asked it?
Yeah, sure.
I said Fanatics came in and took over the licensing for sports cards. Mm-hmm. But how does that actually affect digital collectibles? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, does the licensing apply to a digital card?
And that's the way I took it. Obviously, they didn't take it that way. Everybody has Fanatics and they just run. What I thought you were asking was, hey, you know, they have licensing for this. Is there a separate agreement? Like Top Shot was able to do stuff, like Panini's able to do that. You know, is the digital space, or does Top Shot have an exception because it's a video, right? Is there a way to kind of drive through where Fanatics might just have the licensing for the cardboard, but digital is something different? I don't know. I thought that's what you're asking, but they kind of like, you know, steered clear. And I think it's mostly because, you know, no one's a talk. Everybody's assuming mergers and additional stuff going out there, and they don't want to be, tampering.
It's high school, man. In a lot of ways, we don't want to be, it's a difficult scenario, right? If you don't have the answers, you don't want to look dumb. So you steer clear. And I think a lot of it's 2022, dude. I don't think Fanatics is in it to win it until 2025. So a lot is still going to be played. It's going to play itself out.
So if you ask a question, you were able to receive some sort of a giveaway.
Correct.
For asking questions. And
do not read the text that just came in either, because you're going to get easily distracted.
I didn't read a text.
Good.
I'm on Do Not Disturb.
My man, you're so proud of you. Look at this dude drinking wonton soup from his cup.
Hell yeah. And so, it was smart of Andrew to show up for the NFT panel because there wasn't much competition asking questions. There weren't many people there. So Andrew gets up there and they give him, I thought they were going to give him like a VIP pack, you know, like a silver pack. They give him a box of Optic NFL. What was it? Maybe it was a retail hobby. I don't know. It says there's one auto in it. So anyway, box of Optic hobby. And Andrew is giving away packs. And I'm trying to drag him to the collectible booth.
I was not happy.
Because we have episodes to record. And you guys have listened to them. The Saturday and Sunday episodes we recorded while we were there. With brilliant audio quality. Big shout out to the collectible audio video visual team, you know, for helping us out there and making us professional for a couple days during the year.
And honestly, for turning it around that quick, right? We recorded at 2 p.m. They produced it and had it to us so that we could load it up after the collectible dinner at 1 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, pretty sweet. Listen, we had a lot of that. At our cigar event, you handed the laptop to me to put in information and get the episode up. We were in cars. You were on laptops. It was like, hey, we're in the parking structure. Can you park close to park close to the edge so that I can get a service? I mean, there's a lot of that.
Literally.
We should really have somebody following us around with a camera. No one would believe what it is we do to get the episodes up daily, especially just me basically dragging you, kicking and screaming. But Andrew still was able to give packs out to kids. Here you go, have a pack. Here you go, have a pack. Take a pack. And one of the packs must have had the auto in it. Because somebody, I don't know who it is who got the pack, but somebody got a free auto. And we had some of the packs left, and I was able to drag them over there. And we kind of split the packs up between the audio visual team, and Andrew opened some packs, and I opened some packs as we were waiting to record an episode with Ezra. And one of the packs that I opened had a Zach Wilson downtown from Optic out of 25 in it, which is pretty sweet.
Quick question. All downtowns are numbered, or this is a specific number?
There are different ones. There's gold downtowns too.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So there's 101 downtowns also. So there's just various different downtowns. I don't know what that's worth. I have no idea. Right. You know, on the low side two, on the high side four, I have no idea what it's worth, but it's obviously a banger of a card. And, you know, and Zach Wilson is everybody and their mom's favorites right now. So, this is one of those cards where you don't know what the value is going to be. I like it. You're laughing. You're on mute, but it's okay. So we record our episode and I just take off. I don't know. Andrew,
the mom I met at National.
Nice. Good for you. Andrew.
1.5 hours worth the drive?
I mean, it depends. the young lady that you were seated next to at one of the dinners?
Bro, we ain't that young anymore.
Is that a yes?
She's my age.
Plus yeah, the young lady who you were seated next to at the dinner. Yes,
yeah, the young lady.
That's worth the drive.
The young lady I was seated next to. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you realize this or not. Everybody in the hobby is young to me, right? Everyone. I'm old. I'm the old man in the hobby. Okay, so Zach Wilson, we run over.
She's your age.
Get it graded. Oh, jeez. Get it. That's ancient. I'm so old. Get it graded. Trade it to Sasha T. Add some cash. Now, Andrew has no idea any of this is going on, right? I pulled it out of a pack. He's probably like, what the hell is this? Or might even be mad. Like, jeez, I asked the question. That's my box, the whole deal. But little does he know. What we
imagine
did here
what
was...
you could accomplish if you don't take credit.
Exactly. So what we did here was we traded the Mac Jones and $3,900 in cash for that bad boy. Which so we're basically into this card now for $7,000. Let's just call it that, okay? $7,000. $3,000 of which is the Zach Wilson.
The Zach Wilson's a $3,000 card?
That's what we valued it in our deal with
Sasha.
Who pays
that much for a downtown?
I don't know. I don't know if that's right. Like I said, could be two, could be five, could be three, could be 1,500. But that's how much credit towards this $7,000, it says nine, but towards this $7,000 card I got in my trade. And half of that is yours. So when this sells,
that's crazy.
You are entitled to 1.5/7 of it based on my math. So if it sells for $7,000, you got $1,500. Congratulations, champ. Here we go. That's it. Well done. And that was, by the way, that entire deal was done like what, in an hour? Between
man,
ripping it from
fast,
the pack.
Man. Yeah. I don't understand how you move that fast. My brain did not catch up. I think that card is misgraded. I don't think that's an off-center card. I've seen that card before. I was right. On Sasha T's Whatnot show, and as soon as he showed that card, I remember it was a few weeks ago, it's like, off-centered, OC? Have you guys seen?
It's got gorgeous eye appeal. It's a gorgeous card left to right. Top to bottom's a little bit. I can understand why they did that. I can understand why they did it.
But I've seen cards that are graded like PSA 7s that the picture is in the top left corner.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%. We'll see. I love the card. That's why we grabbed it. It was one of the few, you know, grabs from National. Buying Will Chamberlain when I should have been buying Bill Russell, I guess. But hey, it is what it is.
I want to ask you about that, but no, dude. I mean, the bigger point here is we all want to win, first off. At the end of the day, we all want to win in life, whatever winning looks like. And Cage asks me sometimes, what is winning mean?
Yeah, hey, let's go win. And I'm like, well, what's winning?
You should define it because things that you have clarity on, you're more likely to achieve, no doubt. We all want to win. What I've learned through a lot of failure is winning together is much more fun than winning alone.
Yeah.
But here's the issue. Winning together means swallowing your ego sometimes. It's being the bigger person. It's
doing an episode when you don't want to do one.
Yeah. So, right. And remembering how lucky you are to have the people in your life that you have. So, like, to me,
going to the backyard breaks event, even though you're twice the age of everyone else there, because that's where your pal wants to go.
You were a hit, though. People love you.
Yeah, grandpa.
In reality, you act like two times younger than me. Why is Bill Russell so revered? And I'm not asking that, like, I don't think he is. I just don't know the history.
You know what it is? Bill Russell was, you know, as important and as influential off the court as he was on, but it was because of the way he carried himself. Like, he was a guy who it's sort of the mottos we talk about, right? Like, just move in silence. You know, like don't worry about who's getting credit. You have a job to do, and it doesn't matter who gets the credit for it. You know, he was a hell of an activist, but he doesn't get the credit for it. Same as Joe Frazier. Ali gets all the credit. But Frazier was just as much, if not more. And, you know, I mean, Bill Russell was an absolute legend. And
I know what you're saying. There's there's guys that or girls that make a lot of money and they donate and everybody knows about it. But there's guys and girls who make a lot of money. They do a ton of philanthropy and no one knows about it.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to the Steinbrenner quote, right? You know, if you do a good deed and more than two people know about it, you did it for the wrong reason. Obviously, it's oversimplification, but, you know, Bill Russell, he's one of those guys that very few people have something bad to say about. You know what I mean? you're either, you know, you're either loved, hated. Most people, you can be right in the middle, right? Where people love you, people hate you, and you can find some folks in both camps. You know, Bill Russell universally respected by the current players, you know, by the players who I watched when I was a kid. You know, just one of those guys and did it the right way, right? Like, his numbers don't jump out at you, right? He wasn't one of these guys that scored a million points. He did what needed to be done. I remember my father, we were just playing pickup basketball, and I played organized basketball, but telling me if I was going to block someone's shot, do it like Bill Russell did. And I said, what does that mean? He said, Bill Russell would block the shot and keep the ball in bounds and either get it himself or block it to a teammate instead of going up there and trying to swat it like Zion swats it into the, because then you don't get possession of the ball. And I remember that as a kid, that it was playing smart rather than playing to look flashy and get on a top shot moment.
We have some coaches in our audience. Coach Herrera, big fan. I think he's at Florida State women's basketball or Hofstra now. But either way, I always wondered that. I was like, why do some of these guys on some easier blocks, why do they just like chuck it into the stands? Like, why don't they just like keep the ball or try to tip it to like a
Remember what they said in White Men Can't Jump?
I didn't get through the entire movie.
Rather look good and lose than look bad and win.
I only got through the part where Woody Harrelson clowns him in the beginning.
You got like 15 minutes into the movie. What are you doing?
I'm a TV show guy. I thought that that's where they should have capped it. And then episode 2 of White Man Can't Jump should have started.
So then just do me a favor. Just put it on and stop every 15 minutes. Grab some trees. Take a break and then go back. Say, okay, episode 2. And then you watch it like a 6-episode season.
Touche. I gotta. I have an observation that I'm curious if you agree with. So I've been chumming a lot on Whatnot, which, by the way, guys, it's so cool because I had no idea what I was doing. I still think it's one of the stupidest, craziest ideas I've ever done because I spend a ton of time. We probably break even at best.
At best.
And it's just a lot of time. But point is, you learned a lot, and we've kind of pioneered something because it was a breaking platform. And now if you guys notice, Whatnot has an awesome August promotion for sellers who sell a lot. And we're going to talk to them tomorrow. But I wanted to see if we could do something cool where, because our channel, I think, is maybe the biggest single channel now, if we could pass on those promotions through to our audience. But anyway, it's not that baseball, and I'm talking Griffey, Jeter, Ripken, and all those guys down the list, don't have demand. It's actually that in the 90s had a lot of inserts. Mm-hmm. A lot of really nice looking inserts.
Yep.
And they have demand. But because of how much supply there is, they're selling for 80, 90 bucks. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if we're going to see the same thing in this little Panini era right now. From 2017 to 2022, there's just so much parallel product inserts. And it's like the downtown is still selling for whatever, $2,500. I'm curious if, because there's amazing Griffey numbered cards, Jeter numbered cards that look gorgeous, that they don't break $100. It's not that people don't want them. It's just that they're so abundantly available. They're in every auction. Everyone has them. They're listed on eBay. I wonder if we're going to see the same type of thing. It's not that basketball is more popular than baseball. It's just back then baseball was the thing. So they had a ton of inserts, ton of parallels, and supply demand.
Well, right? People have their favorites, right? It's Kabooms and that kind of stuff, and eventually they'll be producing way more of them, right? Refractors were one that the first refractors were really limited, right? But then they started to become, you know, refractors. But yeah, I think you're probably right. I think the difference now is back then they were very condition sensitive, especially because people weren't putting cards in slabs. Like, you got a Michael Jordan scoring king, maybe you put it in a plastic, maybe you put it in a binder. And by sliding in the binder, you chip the foil off the whole edge of it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that's what happened. And so now you get any kind of an insert like that, a splash even, you know, like an optic, you know, baloney insert, right? You know, T-minus or whatever it is.
But if they're all 10s, it's not going to matter at the end of the day.
So I think the difference now, what was 10s then are the numbered versions now, the gold versions of that downtown, the black version of the downtown, you know, the numbered Kabooms will be the rarer ones, you know, like that kind of stuff. So I think you're probably right. Like, a lot of these inserts will become things that are sought after because these are there will be people who are teenagers now, you know, early 20s now, who come back to the hobby 20 years from now when they're in their late 30s, early 40s, and these are the cards they'll remember collecting, the same way that I remember collecting a Flair Hot Glove.
Yeah.
That is not rare, and you can get a Barry Bonds PSA 10 for, like, you know, $100, you know?
I'm coming back. I didn't leave you. Well, like, I mean,
here. I assume you're going to look for some 90s inserts that are pretty cool looking, but that's what I remember collecting. It's what I would go after now, and I'm able to collect them because they're, you know, inexpensive. Can't see. When I see it's Barry Bonds, but I can't really tell what it is.
The glare sucks.
Yeah, there's a lot of
this
glare.
This is called Motherlode.
Yeah, Motherlode.
Gorgeous set, 9.5.
Yep.
It sold on PWCC for $50.
Yeah, and you know, it's probably pretty rare, you know, in high grade.
It's very rare in high grade. It's incredibly condition sensitive. And why I say that is, I mean, Bonds has all this stuff, but let's not even use Bonds. We could use Griffey. We could use Jeter. You could use whoever you want. You could use Ripken. You could use Chipper Jones, who's super popular. People love Chipper Jones, actually, believe it or not. I'm curious if, like, a Ja Morant, which is a kaboom right now, right? The kids growing up, right now it's out of their price range, right? A 14-year-old kid isn't going to, you know, spend $1,000, $2,000 on a Morant. But in 15, 20 years, a few, but not the
Yeah. Masses. Yep.
I'm wondering if in 15, 20 years, they come back and they want to buy that card. That card's always going to have demand. But that's like a $90-$100 card at the end of the day to them because of how many of those are printed.
I mean, I don't know what the kaboom population is, you know, and I would assume every year it's more and more. You'd have to look at that because if you look at, like, you know, the population on these 90s inserts and graded, there's a lot of those raw out there. There's not a lot of – the difference now is
– Look at this card.
That's a cool card. The difference now is that people just, you know, people are grading everything now. There is nothing raw. You know, back then, those inserts you're putting up now, you know, no one graded. There wasn't even grading. So many of those are still raw because they weren't worth grading until the last couple of years. And even now, grading them and getting a bad grade, it's still not worth grading. So kabooms are a little bit of a different story because I don't think they're ever going to have, like, the print run that some of those things are. But, I mean, it's getting close. I compare the, you know, the late 80s, early 90s to what we've had in the last couple of years. And it just, you know, the machines just keep on printing. And most things from the 90s, even the stuff that we are nostalgic about, until they got numbered, like your PMGs and your Hoops BAMs and your, you know, all of these things that people go after, right? Your masterpieces, you know, your Flair, Row Zero, Legacy Collection, all these things, right? Until you get a number on it. You know, everything was just mass produced and they don't really have values, even the stuff in, you know, in high grade. So
I think even numbered stuff is being deceived. I think okay. Numbered stuff is still, like, right now flawless. Like I'm loving, there's these, like, influencers that started in 2020, you know, that might have built a snowball, right, really well for the last 2 years. And now they're into, like, Trey Lance flawless, right? And I'm like, that shit's not going to last.
Well, if Trey Lance becomes this generation's Tom Brady, they'll all be fine. But yes, the amount being paid for Trey Lance right now assumes that of the myriad of young quarterbacks that are available, and football has way more investable properties right now because it's all quarterbacks. And think of how much that Mac Jones sold for. Think of how much people are paying for Trey Lance, for Trevor Lawrence, for Mac Jones. That's just, you know, this last year, right? I mean, throw in all these other guys, your Josh Allens and you name it. And, you know, they all have to basically get past Mahomes, who's already got the MVP and a Super Bowl win. I mean, it's
– Cage, I just saw two Flair showcases, like really nice high-graded Brett Favre's. One was a Planet Metal Universe with, like, the grizzly bear in the back.
Yep.
I mean, if any of the guys you mentioned win three MVPs in a row, that's incredible, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Like that's incredible to win three MVPs in a row. Forget Super Bowl and all that stuff just for a second. Brett Favre won three MVPs in a row. Two of his cards didn't break $100.
Yeah.
We're talking about Trey Lance, who just won the starting job.
It's supply and demand, right? It's supply and demand. And you're right. I mean, but here's the thing, right?
It's fake supply. Here's what they do. I'll explain what I mean.
Please.
They rip. Right now, where they buy right after a break.
Okay.
Because you don't have the full supply out there because some stuff is still in boxes and it's expensive, it feels like a scarcity of supply. But that stuff's going to be ripped in the next 12 months, and there's going to be all the supply out there.
But, I mean, they're numbered. So, I mean, like, you know, Trey Lance Fall is numbered out of 15. If you want to go down the route that there's, you know, a million different versions out of 25, 10, go, yes, that's a different argument. That is something people have to pay attention to because it's not just out of 15. You know, when you add it up, there's hundreds of these things.
It's probably out of 499, realistically.
Yeah.
It's probably out of 499. And there's Brady cards from 2003 that are out of 499, eights, nines. That's still for $100.
Yep. No, so I understand exactly what you're saying. I do.
Be careful. Be careful. And yeah, just
the Favre thing, it's a great, great, great comparison. Favre and the young quarterbacks now. I've read articles. I remember in the last couple of years, I've read articles about why are people buying Tesla stock instead of Ford stock. Ford's been around for 100 years. It pays a really high dividend. It's a safe stock. You can make money in it. It's at its lows. It's a great buy. They're making, you know, their earnings are actually earning money. You know, they sell all these cars. They sell so much stuff. And Tesla was at the time losing money, right? And they couldn't even produce cars. And they were basically like, at the time I'm reading this, like talking about how they hope to be able to, in the next quarter or the next two quarters, be able to produce enough cars. They're hoping, a lot of hope. And yet people were paying through the nose at a multiple that, I mean, it didn't exist because they weren't making any money. It was thousands to one, right? Because they weren't even making money. The price of earnings was like infinity because they weren't earning anything. But people were buying Tesla stock. Why? First of all, it's human nature, right? People want to be first. We talk about this all the time. And second, people want to be right. And third, it's the difference between potential energy and kinetic energy, right? It's the difference between prospecting on something that has potential upside and something that has really no upside, a capped upside. And what winds up happening there is, we've talked about this with Giannis a bunch of times, there's a very big difference between how good someone is and was on the field and the basic economics of supply and demand. And that's what you're seeing in cards. And ultimately, that will change. But right now, there is significantly more demand for Trey Lance than there is for Brett Favre. It doesn't matter that Brett Favre is a potentially top 10 quarterback of all time, won a Super Bowl, won three MVPs, and that most of these kids are probably not going to do what Brett Favre did on the field. Right now, the people who are buying cards, opening boxes, you know, trying to flip, they're not trying to flip Brett Favre. They're trying to flip Trey Lance. They're spinning a web, a narrative, and they're happy they bought last week because Deebo Samuel just signed. And now it's like, whoa, Trey Lance is going to be a stud. He's got Deebo for the next 3 years. It's going to be awesome. I think
what worries me is that the way that the market is right now, it's much more, I'm going to hire a cameraman. I'm going to show all my trades. I'm going to create this weird demand for someone that's news-driven. And Trey Lance cards, which are higher pop than the LeBron refractor rookie in a PSA 10. I don't think you could say that the Trey Lance has more upside than a LeBron card.
I think you can.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, the LeBron.
I think there's more hype, but I don't think that there's more upside.
But that is part of it, right? So it depends on what your hype can lead to upside. Right, because right now there is an amount of demand for Trey Lance, right? And people are buying the cards, and because they're buying them and they're holding them, the supply is small because people are buying him to prospect on him. So the available supply that's out there is small, probably a lot less than there is for LeBron cards. The rookies, the good rookies, the stuff that people want, the flawless, the numbered prism, you name it, they're being held by people who are prospecting on it.
It's probably because one person holds five, and
Maybe, but after week two or three, and he's 3-0, and he's got, you know, 9 touchdowns and 1 interception, and everybody's talking about how he might be the favorite to come out of the NFC now, and he's, you know, rushing the ball, and he looks like he's going to be the second coming, there's more demand. Now people who are on the fence for him are there, and the people who are holding those cards say, I'm gonna sell now. I'm going to take advantage of it now. That does not mean, please, do not get me wrong, that does not mean I'm saying Trey Lance is a good buy. I'm explaining how the prices for Trey Lance, the demand for Trey Lance gets to be what it is,
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say you were in a coma for 2 years. Okay. You woke up. You didn't have card ladder check comps and recent sales. You hit national and you have your.
I'm in Atlantic City, so I have no Wi-Fi.
You have no Wi-Fi.
I wake up in 2 years with no Wi-Fi.
Perfect. This is a perfect scenario for me. Someone just hit you over the head because the little crack button ran around. You know, he hit you. Yeah.
Boom.
You're not thinking. You're still thinking clearly. Okay. Anyway, scenario played out. You have your LeBron, Topps Chrome, rookie refractor in a BJ scan.
Yep.
And someone comes up to you with a Trey Lance, National Treasures, PSA 10, 10-10 auto. And they're like, hey, you want to trade these two?
I'm probably not doing that.
So they come up to you with a one-of-one Prism Black Mac Jones. You don't know the price.
Right. I mean, listen. This is 2 years from now, right? And I don't know what's happened in the last 2 years. I'm probably still going to say no, right? Because I don't expect either Trey Lance or Mac Jones to be fantastic over the next 2 years. And the prices that people are paying for the cards, they're making their bets on these guys that one of them is going to be Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or, you know, whatever it might be. And there's just too many.
Efficiency, Luka Nation. We have become so comp-driven that we lost logic. Like, think about that scenario, right? Most of you out there, if you didn't know the prices, which the prices are not that liquid, right? The price, it's comps, it's not stocks. They're not trading in front of millions of people. Most of you, I would venture 75% of you would not trade your BGS 10 LeBron rookie refractor for a one-of-one Mac Jones, the Prism Black.
Right now they might because – it has nothing to do with Mac Jones or comps or anything like that. It's right now – it depends what game you're playing, right? I'm playing a very different game. My LeBron is more akin to Ford stock. My LeBron is more akin to a dividend-paying safe stock. It's Apple. It's Disney. It's something that I know is iconic. It's something that I know – sure. Is there potential for some, you know, quick upside to it? Yeah, he's still playing.
I think it's fake upside. I think it's upside.
But there's upside. It's not fake.
What I mean by fake, I think it's artificial in the sense that, like, oh, this is ripped. I offered 100K. I got a PSA 10. Now it's 160. Now the next guy's going to buy it for 230. And then the next guy's going to buy it for 300. It's artificial upside because they're not taking – they're looking at this random comp and acting like it's the true value of the card.
But yet everybody who has bought it so far has sold it for more.
But it only takes two people to do that.
That's right. But those are the kind of cards where...
it's not the true value of the card.
What the true value is what someone's willing to pay for it. And if I, instead of putting $100,000 into Tiger Woods and LeBron, if I took that 100 grand and bought that...
I'd call my friend and be like, yo, buy this card for me.
So if I bought that card for $100,000, I would have made way more money buying that card and then reselling it to somebody for $160,000 than I did buying a LeBron. That is the game. I understand everything you're saying. I'm not disputing what you're saying, that it's very easy to manipulate this and that our dependency on comps and sales prices matter. And we could talk to Card Ladder about not just that, but how one big sale impacts everything, whether it's real or not, but also one low sale, one bargain price can also impact how a card is perceived going forward, especially in a more liquid commodity type card. It's very difficult to get a bargain on a card and then try to flip it. We could talk about that. But I understand exactly what you're saying. What I'm saying is the vast majority of the young folks in this hobby now are in it for that narrative-driven flip, right? And it goes everywhere. And this is why when we have Shay Wave Logs, and Empire State on, and they talk about their across country, over the ocean trek to get their Ronaldo and get their Messi, the one thing missing from that episode, because we had everything in there. It was insane. We were in different countries. We couldn't know how they went from one country to the next. I don't know what was going on, but you know what was missing? Prices.
I'm legit AF. I'm on social media.
Prices. Why? Because it's all about spinning a yarn about a rare card and saying this is what it's worth. And if someone will pay for it, you can make money. It's the exact same thing with Trey Lance Flawless out of 10, where there's only two of them available and someone has to have a Trey Lance because they want a prospect on him going into the season. Somebody can tell the story and make money. If what you're trying to tell me is that you think ultimately 2 years from now there are going to be more losers than winners, I think that's almost a virtual certainty.
I think it's a certainty because not Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, they can't all be worth what they're worth now.
Yeah, they can't. Be careful with what these influencers who spend a lot of overhead hiring cameramen to follow them around are posting. They're not posting because they think that like they don't think that card is a good deal. They think that you're going to be the buyer of that card and you're going to cash them out. Correct. One of the thousand that watches.
The people who are listening to this, it's known as liquidity. And listen, I'd love to have Jeff Wilson on. We had Jeff Wilson on, and I will ask him how a BGS 8.5 star with 9 centering that I sold recently for $36,000, and there are still ones coming this week, other auctions, BGS 8.5s, right? How are those selling for 30s? And a PSA 8 recently graded is a bargain at 100.
Dude, they're top signals.
Somebody, please explain that to me. I love Jeff. He's a very nice guy. But my buddy who
was at National with us sends me his videos. Bro, I'm not answering that. If you don't even understand, if you can't see the forest from the trees, if you don't understand what you're doing, watch it. Like, you could watch it for entertainment. But if that's where you're getting your info, you're in for a world of hurt.
And I would love to have that. I'd love to have an explanation of that. How is that something that somebody thinks is a smart purchase? Seriously.
It's
Jeff, I love you. I do.
Well, it's not
maybe it's the 8.5 is just really crappy. Maybe, but you know what that's saying is a PSA 8 would be a BGS 9. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But
look, we have a responsibility to our community. We do not have a responsibility to the influencers or the business people or any of those. That is not where my loyalty lies. I'll have every single one of them on. I agree or disagree. I love discussion. A lot of them that we have on, we don't agree on many print things.
True.
My loyalty is to you guys, and I want you guys to see what we see and make your own decisions for yourselves. And I think that is why we have such a strong community. Maybe we don't have the most numbers or views, but I do believe that's why we have such a tight-knit community. Because I think, for one, we don't think you guys are fools. No. And two, the newer people in our community, we want you guys to avoid some of the mistakes that we made. Chasing the rabbit, chasing the shiny new toy.
But I mean, remember what I said on the other side of this, right? Like, if you would have taken the money that I put into LeBron last year and put it into that Mac Jones when it was available for $100,000, I would have made more money. If that's your game.
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, here's it why. Has sold since.
Because I played that game today, right? So I load up my inventory and whatnot every day. Mm-hmm. And hypothetically, I look up the comps and I'm like, well, if I could have sold this at the highest comp that Card Ladder says, I would have won. But that's an impossibility. You're never going to time the market perfectly. So we see this one comp and we kind of hypothesize that if I bought at the right time here and sold at the right time here, my 100K would be better, but we don't adjust it for risk at
all.
So
I agree with that, but I'm going to let you go for another minute or two. I gotta go. Okay. And here's my question for you. Right? Because people are at home listening and they're basically saying to themselves, another one of these episodes where Cage and Andrew tell us to just buy LeBron refractors and don't buy anything else out there. And they're saying to themselves, that's no fun. That what they do in the hobby, they want to buy modern stuff. They want to buy cards of people that they like and that they think are going to do better. So what is your answer to them? The people who do not want to go out and buy vintage baseball, the people who enjoy buying flawless, people who think Trey Lance might actually be very good. What do you tell them? And then we'll wrap.
Well, if they want to buy Trey Lance, buy Trey Lance. But I think you could also buy at different points in the cycle. I think you could at least let things cycle through once, whether that's a player or an insert or whatever. I think you could let things cycle through. You've seen it with Mahomes, right? Like, let's say you're a huge believer in Mahomes. You could have bought him right after he won his first Super Bowl. You could buy him now. He's now priced actually similar to Mac Jones and, you know.
Yeah. So
let things cycle through. You could still play the speculation game, but don't get caught up in all the hype. And the shiny new toy could look like a Trey Lance or it could look like that star card, right? The star card became in demand. That's a shiny new toy that's not shiny.
It's amazing, right?
But you want to get on the star? Watch it. Let it cycle through. You're not going to miss the boat.
See how many get graded. Yeah. I mean, obviously, if they're really a PSA 8 is worth $100,000 and you can buy BGS 8.5s for $30,000 or $40,000, people are going to be buying the BGS 8.5s and trying to get 8s. So there's going to be more PSA graded ones, clearly. And maybe that's part of the equation. Who knows?
I'll let you go, but there could be a supply shock, right? Like once someone sees that a PSA 8 star sells for 100K and they bought theirs for 20, I think it's 6 or 7 people are going to be like, yo, I'm going to make that $80,000. So it's going to hit the market. See what happens. Let that dust settle and come in on a good entry point. So you're not chasing. Come in and find a good entry point when you know that market and then buy it. And then you're still speculating, but you've bought right.
I think what you're saying here to the folks listening is educate yourselves to the best of your ability, especially when there's a product that's new, right? And you know, it appears to be more scarce than it is. Whether that's a newly graded PSA star card because PSA wasn't grading them, or whether that's a newly opened product, like a flawless product that people are just, you know, hoarding, or, you know, it hasn't gone through a pricing cycle yet. So I think it's very smart.
Now, apparently one of ones, I'll let you bounce, of like nobodies, Gary Trent and Dwight Howard are like, go buy these guys. What?
People like one of ones. You know, all you need is one collector of one of one, and that'll be the way to go. So I understand. I mean, I get that. There's only one of those, right? They're masterpieces, one of ones. I wouldn't do that, but that's just me.
A Nebula one of one, a Choice one of one, a True Black one of one.
That's the other thing.
One of one.
Keep in mind how much stuff's being printed, even though the number on the back.
A Master Treasures, a two of one, flawless, a Logo Man. They're not one of ones. But anyway, interesting vibe from Andrew. You guys deserve
that. I like this one today. This is a good one. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for spending some time with us on another episode of the Lucas Tigers and Bronze Oh My podcast. Do us a favor and like, subscribe. Now, you know what? Don't just like and subscribe. Everybody does that. If you like us, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, tell everybody. And we hope you got something from spending some time with us today, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.